T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We welcome in Ron Darling. Ron, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
First, before we get to the playoffs, they activate Wright. What's your thoughts on this whole thing going on this week with Wright? And do you think you will see him pinch hit before the big date, or do you think that will be his only appearance?
I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think he's going to take an at-bat before the big date.
Okay.
Because the big date becomes less of a big date if he plays before the big date. So I think I think that he'll be active, which will give him a chance to be with his teammates, be on the field, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, Saturday's a big day for him and the Mets.
Okay, so you think we'll only see him on Saturday, which, as we said, will be his big date. Now, playoffs, first of all, American League, we've known for a long time, other than the wild card, we've known for a long time who these teams are. National League's been a little different. We're starting to settle things right now. In your mind, National League, who's the team to beat right now?
Boy, I'll tell you, it's a really tough call because as opposed to last season, I really loved the Dodgers. I really loved the Cubs. I like them both. I don't love them like last year. I think the Dodgers are not as strong as they were last year. And I think with some of these late injuries, you know, Morrow, Stroop, et cetera, for the Cubs, I think they're more vulnerable than they were before. That being said, I still don't think those two are the best teams in the National League, and I would not be surprised if they're playing in the championship series.
Atlanta, you give them any chance?
I give them a little chance in this way. I think they have some amazing, talented players on their team. I think they have some veteran leadership, of course, with Freeman and Markakis. They're young players, and we've seen this before, Mike. You've seen it more than I have. Sometimes young players are so young that sometimes they don't understand how big the games are. We start with Andrew Young at Yankee Stadium early in his career.
Yep. Cabrera was that way,
Miguel Cabrera. Andrew Jones, sorry, not Andrew Young.
Yep.
Andrew Jones. We've seen that happen sometimes, so you never know. They might go in and just let the talent flow. But, you know, they have had a no-name kind of bullpen do it all year. Fulton Nevich is probably their best starter, but after that, Tehran's been up and down. Newcomb had a good first half. I just don't think they're as deep as some of the other teams. And Milwaukee and the Cardinals and the Rockies, let's say they're all three together because you're trying to figure out where they're going to go. I think you know, the Rockies could have an amazing homestand and pull this thing off and come from behind. The Cardinals and Carpenter have been great. But, you know, of those three teams, I think that the Brewers are the scariest only because their bullpen has come into how it was last year at the end of the year. And Yelich is my MVP.
Really? Yeah, Yelich has had a great season. He really has. You know, that's a guy I was hoping the Mets might get a shot at. He really, because I always liked him, but he really has had a terrific year. I expected him to be a good hitter. He's even been better than I thought he'd be.
You know, Mike, if you think about it, the Brewers had a 5.5 game lead last year before the All-Star break. Cubs caught him. Well, the Cubs have caught him again, but they're going to make the postseason. Why? And I think, you know, they have had a lot of trades, and Aguilar was great in the first half, but it's because Yelich has changed that team. He's kind of put him on his back in the second half.
Who do you think gets that last slot? Cardinals, Rockies, who do you think gets it?
Well, I think that they both have weaknesses. I'm going to give it, and this is going to be an underdog call. I'm going to say that the Rockies are going to have a miraculous homestand and come back in this thing. I think that the Cardinals have been outstanding all year. I mean, any team that's close right now has had a lot of good things, but if you're close, you've all had some bad things too. And I think just the Rockies playing at home, which is the most unique home field advantage of any of the 30 teams in baseball, I think maybe they'll pull it off like they did in 2007.
We're talking about Ron Darling. He'll be doing the American League playoffs when they begin with the wild card game at Yankee Stadium, most likely Yankee Stadium, next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oakland and the Yankees. Now, the Yankees have gotten banged up here, Ron. We were talking about that at the start. Didi said yesterday before the game with Susan that he's optimistic. Who knows? We'll wait and see. We also need to know that Chapman is healthy, Judge is healthy. You got a couple of the guys nicked up. But then they got the questions they got to answer, and they're very interesting ones this year. Yeah. And this is where Boone's not going to get to do this alone. We know that. But this is where they're going to earn their money. There's some very interesting calls they have to make. The first one, who do they start in the game? Who would you start? Among the big three, Tanaka and Happ and Severino, who would you start in the game?
Well, I think because of Severino's second half, which has been fair or less than fair compared to his first half, I think he's out of the mix.
I think he is. I agree with you. I think he is.
Between Tanaka and Happ.
I agree, and I hear they're divided. I think it is between, and I think they're leaning towards Happ for a couple of reasons. Easier to catch, and he's been a little more dependable than Tanaka. Tanaka's high is higher, but he's been a little more dependable. But I think there's, I hear there's some division between the two guys. Inside the hierarchy, there's some division.
I think there would definitely be some division because you can look at it a couple of ways, right? The two best hitters in that lineup for the Oakland A's are Chapman, who's an up-and-coming ball player, and of course Chris Davis, who has 45 home runs. That right-handed split finger by Tanaka plays well, right? But Jay Happ is 8-1 in his career at Yankee Stadium. Has always pitched well there. He's pitched in the postseason as Tanaka has, and you know, with a left-handed starter, you kind of try to take right field out of play.
You do.
For a team. So I think that division is warranted. It's a really, really tough call. And in fact, whoever you choose, I was thinking today as I was walking around, whoever you choose, they might not even be the most important pitcher. The most important pitcher, well, as soon as they're both going to have a short leash. Would you agree on that?
So after the fourth inning. After the fourth inning, yes.
That's right. So if they have a short leash, maybe the most important pitcher is going to be Jonathan Holder because he might be the first guy you see after if they have a short leash to get the ball deep.
Well, you know, if they go Green, Robertson, and then the big three, they can start right there. If Green's on, he can go two innings, and then you can go from there and get to the big, you know, so you can go. The Yanks are comfortable. I think after the fourth inning, you're playing batter to batter with them, no matter who starts. You know they don't want to fool around, and they have the bullpen to do it. Although they haven't been lights out, and you don't know about Chapman, which is a big thing. So I agree with you. And both guys are vulnerable to a home run. Tanaka a little more, but Happ too. Happ gives up home runs too. They both have a habit of giving up some long flies. That's just the way they are. But Happ's been, I think, soup to nuts, the more dependable. Now the second question.
Yeah.
Does Sanchez catch the game? And they have been adamant. Every time I've asked Aaron, he's been adamant that Sanchez is catching the game. I don't think the fans want him to catch the game. Also, he's not hitting. Now, he doesn't get the DH the way this sets up if he doesn't catch it because Stanton's got to DH it the way things are working out. So do you catch Sanchez?
Well, this might influence how you pick your pitchers. Let's say that it's a push. You don't know which way to go with Happ or Tanaka. The easier of the two to catch,
Happ,
the more of a rocking chair kind of pitcher is Happ.
Right.
So if you go with Happ, then I don't think you have an issue with Sanchez behind the plate. With Tanaka and that split finger, maybe you do. I don't know. I know he's had an awful year for him. His upside is so huge, and you know you're just expecting at some point he's just going to break out and be the kind of hitter he can be. And so. And I know that if you're facing the Yankee lineup, I don't care what the numbers say. There's not a pitcher in baseball that faces Gary Sanchez and says, boy, this is a 185 hitter. You just don't feel it because you just expect at some point he's going to break out and you're hoping it's not against you. So depth of lineup means a lot to me when you're facing a team, and Gary gives them that.
And the other thing is, you mentioned how you go in and you always fear right field in Yankee Stadium. And I know I do. And I grew up with it. And anytime a lefty's up in a big spot with a couple of guys on base, I'm afraid of the lefty. I don't care who he is. Okay? That's the way you play it in the Yankee Stadium. The Yankees have played themselves out of that. They've become a tremendously right-handed team. And now, if Didi's not in the lineup, how do you sit Gaudy for McCutcheon? Because then, even if you put Walker at second, you have hardly any lefties in the lineup. I mean, the Yankees are are going to play a game in Yankee Stadium. If they play McCutchen over Gaudy, and if Didi's not in the lineup, they're going to have two left-handed hitters in the lineup.
Which is just remarkable or shocking when you think of a Yankee team. It almost, to me, every time you had to face them there, it seemed every other hitter at least was coming up and had a chance to take you out of the ballpark from the left-hand side. It's an unusual lineup to see. But still, the thing with Judge and Stanton and Sanchez, when they're on top of their game, you know they can hit the ball 380 feet to right field very easily.
And, Ron, so, if you're a right-handed pitcher, I don't know Oakland's guys where I can tell you off the top of my head who they're going to start. I don't know which one they have the most faith in. I'll be the first to admit that. They're a bullpen team. I don't know what guy they trust the most to start the game. But I would tell you this. Whoever it is, I want him pitching inside to those Yankee right-handers. I don't want them hitting 380-foot flies to right field. Let him try to pull the ball. I want him to pitch inside.
I totally agree with you, Mike. I think that the game plan has to be for them, if they don't bullpen the game, which they might do.
They might bullpen the game. They might be capable of doing that, too.
Yeah, they might have the opener and bullpen the game. If they don't do that, then they've got to have either a left-hander who's going to stay in on those right-handed hitters, or they're going to have a right-hander who sinks the ball down into them. I just don't think they can afford a guy like a Mike Fiers, all right, who's one of their starters, who projects, when you look at his numbers, as a fly ball pitcher. You cannot have a guy pitch against the Yankees who's a fly ball pitcher.
No, so, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's the decision they'll make. And if any team in baseball is going to start the postseason bullpenning, why not the A's? They've done everything else first.
Absolutely. And the only thing about the A's is they don't win in the playoffs. That's the one thing that's haunted them for years. We're talking with Ron Darling. You look at the American League right now. Yeah. The Red Sox have had the magical season. To me, I can't even make them. Now, the Yankees got a lot of issues. And I understand the Yankees have a lot of things that they have to overcome if they're going to win in the postseason. And they might get beat in the wild card game. But my point is, right now, the Red Sox are no gimme by any stretch, despite the regular season. Houston is every bit as good as the Red Sox. I think Cleveland's every bit as good as both of them. And to me, these other teams, and the Red Sox, if I'm them, I'm worried about their bullpen. I'm worried about Sale. You can't tell me you're thrilled with Sale going to the DL twice. And also, look how few pitch he's thrown hardly any innings in the last month.
I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, it's not unprecedented. You watched as a Mariners team who won 116 games in 2001, couldn't get through the Yankees. So it's not unprecedented that a team that has a magical regular season doesn't make it through the complete run of the postseason.
No question.
That's one. Two, I think if a guy goes on the DL once for me as a pitcher, I can live with that. Twice with the same issue, that makes me skeptical.
Me too.
And I'm going to have to see Sale pitch on Friday night to see what kind of pitcher you have.
His numbers are crazy good.
They are crazy good, and he is crazy good when he's 100%. There's very few pitchers when they're not 100% can still march out the same numbers. If he's 100%, all of a sudden now the Red Sox are a different ball club, and yes, they could make that run through with him pulling a Bumgarner or something like that in the postseason. And then the whole bullpen thing for the Red Sox is that, you know, they didn't do very much at the trading deadline. They thought their bullpen was fine, and I think it is at the end with Kimbrel. But, you know, they've talked about Stephen Wright, a knuckleballer pitching the seventh inning. That would be unprecedented to have a guy throwing knuckleballs in the seventh or eighth inning trying to get the ball to the back of your bullpen or the Kimbrel. So, you know, despite winning all those games, you know, there is a little chink in the armor for the Red Sox. And what you say about Houston is absolutely right. I didn't know they had this much depth, because think about it. Altuve didn't play a lot this year.
And they got nothing out of Correa. He's had a terrible finish.
Yeah, nothing out of Correa. Springer's been off and on. This Bregman has turned into one of the best players in the game. But the depth of that team to go through all those injuries and to see the numbers they put up win-wise tells you how good they are. And most of it comes from their starting pitching. McCullers now will be in the bullpen. That gives them a great weapon. But their starter's going to have to be as good as they were last year.
His last seven games, 15 games, and 30 games, Correa has hit under 180 in all three of those categories, and he has one home run in a month.
And he's supposed to be one of the the greatest players in the game. And so it tells you that maybe the back injury he has is a little more severe than you think. And when you brought up Cleveland really, for me, revolves around one player. Is Andrew Miller 100%?
Yep. And I don't know if he is. I don't know if he is. And I'll tell you, they land in the woods, though, because they got their hearts broken last year. They had a great team, and they played terribly in the Yankee series, and it broke their hearts. They thought they had a championship team last year. I think they're dangerous this year, but you're right. They need Miller to be good.
Well, Miller good allows, I think, Terry Francona is one of the best managers in the game. So if he's good, that allows Francona to really manage the way he can manage.
He hasn't been Miller, to be fair. He has not. I have not seen shades of him being Miller at any time. He does not look like Miller.
Yeah, Miller has been what Sale has been at the end for the Red Sox. Just an unknown. You don't know what you're going to get. That lineup is amazing, and I'll tell you, there's going to be some teams pretty angry if Donaldson gets off in the postseason.
Right.
Who thought it was a little shady how he ended up with Cleveland. But you know what? Cleveland ended up with him, and if he's healthy for a month, you know what kind of player he can be.
He can be big. Now, again, we haven't seen him healthy yet either. So, I mean, the question is, can he get going? So I agree with you. These teams, they have some question marks. Everybody's got – they're all really good teams. I mean, these teams are all – I know there was some weak teams to beat up on in the American League this year.
Yeah.
But there's these four teams – and Oakland's had a great finish, so let's give them credit too. These teams in the American League playoff are really strong teams.
I don't think there's been a time that I've gone in to do postseason, and I'm just lucky enough to catch the American League this year. I don't think there's been a time when I can look at all the teams and say, "Well, I mean, they could win it, or they could win it." I mean, you really can go down the line, and with all the talented teams they have, and all the young everyday position players they have. Anyone gets hot, they could make a run through that American League and into the World Series.
Let me ask you this. We're talking about Ron Darling. American League pitchers in the playoffs, which one of the guys, is it still Verlander? Is it somebody else? What pitcher do you think has the best chance to put the team on his back from a starting standpoint, where the starter goes in and dominates his two games in that series? Which guy do you think is the guy, maybe it's still Verlander, maybe somebody else, that has the chance to do that in the American League?
Well, despite the talented pitchers in Cleveland, they have four of them that have over 200 strikeouts, Kluber, Cy Young. Despite Sale and what he's done, I don't know if he's 100% or not. It is Verlander, and that's remarkable when you think about his career. He had a three-stretch run there, Mike, where he's 33-32, and I think most of us were thinking, as most power pitchers, hey, maybe he's seen his best day. But he's pitching better right now at this point in the season than he's pitched all year long, and he's made a run for the Cy Young in the month of September. He's going to be one of the guys who's going to get lots of votes. And he's battle tested, and he proved it just 12 months ago that he can, on the biggest stage, when he has to be that person, he can be John Smoltz, I guess, would be the best way to describe him. And that's saying something for the length of the career he's had.
You mentioned Verlander. You mentioned Kluber. Who do you give the American League Cy Young to? Kluber, Verlander, or do you give it to Snell, who's 21-5 with a 1.9 ERA?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Snell, and another guy that you could maybe add, although I'm not that big with Cy Young's relief pitchers, Trinan with Oakland.
Yeah,
an amazing year too.
I'm not giving it to the reliever, but I mean, but he definitely has had a great year. But so Snell's your pick. I would pick Snell also.
I'm giving it to Snell, Mike. Because I think
he's not the most durable guy in the world, but he did throw 175 innings. I know he leaves some games after five innings that puzzles people. It's kind of little Greg Maddux-like, but he did throw 170. It's not like he threw, he did throw 175 innings.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close matchup between Blake Snell and Verlander. I think Kluber will finish third in that voting. But the reason I give it to Snell is that, Tampa Bay Rays do not get through the entire season with the opener that they use unless Blake Snell goes 21-5. Because every fifth day they had a guy that went out there and dominated, they were allowed to do a lot of things that are new to baseball and maybe will be here for a long time. But they wouldn't have been able to do it without Blake Snell and the year he's had. And it's all about run prevention. They're going to probably give the Cy Young in the National League to DeGrom, and he's going to finish with a .500 record because of his run prevention.
He deserves it.
Earned run average, and he deserves it.
He was that good day in and day out, though. He really was. He pitched great.
He
pitched with fewer run support than any pitcher I'd ever seen.
That's right. And I think Snell's going to get it for the same reason. Just run prevention, not allowing runners to score, is the name of the game now for voters, and we're going to see it in the vote this winter.
All right, for Yankee fans, will this be a good October or a so-so October or a bad October?
I think that it's going to be a good October for them. I think that when push comes to shove, at some point you've got to come in Yankee Stadium and play well. I think their starting pitching is better than most people think. Stanton's had a bad September. Yes, Judge is coming off an injury. I haven't seen the best of him yet. Didi is such a big key. You already said it, left-handed bat. I also think in some ways, I don't know, like it's hard to say he's the heart and soul of the team, but there's something about him that's magical.
Yeah, Didi is the number two guy, and he is incredibly important to the team. This is Judge's team, though. He's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the face of the team. He runs the team. He is the team. He's the number one guy. These are the Judge Yankees. But Didi is the next guy, and he is incredibly important. He also holds the defense and the infield together.
Yeah, and I think, finally, for the Yankees, and this is if this happens, they've got a great bullpen, but where is Chapman now?
I don't know. He might come in and walk the ballpark.
Yeah, you just don't know. I've seen him this year when he's had to leave the game with his knee. I've seen him come on and strike out three guys in 12 pitches. Whatever guy you get, if you get the latter, then you're going to have a great postseason in the Bronx.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You're right. You're going to have some good baseball to watch. It's going to be a fascinating series in the American League. It really is. A good year to be in the American League.
I'm happy about it.
All right, thanks, Ron, very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
Take care. Ron Darling.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.